Hello, friends. Welcome to this encouragement session. I think we've done probably 60 of them. And we're starting with the book of Matthew. And it is so great to read the context in which the writer has written one of these synoptic gospels. The synoptic gospels means we see together. Come, let's see together. You know, and so Mark was the earliest gospel, and Matthew was specifically written to the Jews. And it's beautiful to actually read through it. Matthew was the tax collector. We read about him in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, where this guy that the Jews hated, especially because of the oppression, he was taken and obviously had a great encounter with Jesus. Jesus turned his life around, and then you know what happened? Is he started to follow God. And so he was a very, very good writer, and he writes a lot of stories. That's why the Gospel of Matthew is called the storytelling or the teaching gospel. And so in Matthew chapter 1, we start with the genealogies. And I always thought like, wow, this is too boring for me. This is, just skip the chapter. But then I started to read, because you must remember, there were almost 400 years between the Old and the New Testament. The prophecies were silent, the prophets were silent, the Jews were under oppression, and here comes Christ. Christ, the revelation of Jesus. And so Matthew writes to these Jewish people because he wanted to explain to them that Jesus didn't just come out of nowhere, but there are three groups of 14 generations that are mentioned. And there's some profound stuff about this, because the first 14 was the time when the Jews were like really great, things were happening. The second 14 was almost the fall of the Jewish nation. And then the third one is them reaching out again to the Messiah. Isn't that how God created us? We've just fallen as the human race, and now there's salvation. And so the two great people that are mentioned here is first David. And the fact that Jesus was the son of David would not mean a lot to you and me, but in scripture and for the Jews, it was profound. Remember what they shouted when Jesus came into Jerusalem: Jesus, son of David, or the blind man, son of David, have mercy on me. And so many times Matthew would refer to the Old Testament prophecies, because that was another very important thing to the Jews, is what does the prophet say, and how is Jesus' life fulfilled through the prophecies? And when you start to read that, it is actually profound. If you look at books like Isaiah that prophesied, the Psalms where it prophesied of this Messiah, and how many prophecies Jesus fulfilled, wow, it will blow your mind. You know, and so he started with this, looking at Jesus as the son of David. The second thing was also that Jesus came from Abraham. You know, wow. You know, that he was the son of Abraham, the promise of God. You know, so it's very profound to the Jews. They didn't have written stuff. They had the first five books. But the fact that Jesus came from these lineages is amazing. And so in this context, they start with the story of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. Jesus was king. Jesus was supreme. And so this messianic line was shown right through that. And so the son of David, it talks about the fact that there were hopes, there were dreams, there were fulfillment, you know, in Christ alone. And so then, now we pick up the story where Christ was born of Mary. Profound story. I can just imagine the illegitimacy and the sense of not belonging, the sense of the rumors and the things people said all the time. They said, well, obviously this Jesus, you know, you must be illegitimate. Maybe there's something in your life where you feel illegitimate and you feel like, no, I'm not, I'm just, you know, I'm not ready. I can't be used by God. And the reason for that is because the devil is a liar. And so Jesus grew up in this context, and we see how the amazing stuff, you know, of how they had to flee from this place, actually flee for their lives, because there was this terrible King Herod. He wasn't king, he was the ruler of the areas, and the Romans loved him, but he was a very suspicious guy, and he hated any opposition. You know, they say that when he eventually died, he was actually took all the counselors and all the mighty people in the area, put them in prison, and he said when he dies, they must all die with him. And the reason for that is just because he said nobody will mourn when he dies, but at least if all these other people die with him, there's going to be great mourning the time at his death. You know, so what a terrible guy. And so they actually had to flee. And the prophecies and the things, and we see that even in Jesus' birth, there is great opposition. There are great challenges, you know. And so this is amazing. Because of the fulfillment of prophecy. But in verse 18 to 25 at the end, I love this, and this is sort of what I want to encourage us with. You know, listen to this. He says, verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Oh, that's what the angel said. He will save their people from their sins. Yo, what an amazing thing, you know. And then eventually Joseph arises, and says his name is Jesus. Jesus, Joshua, the same name, which means Yahweh is my salvation. Isn't that an amazing name? Yeah, that God will bring salvation. And then another thing that he said, especially in the first two chapters, is Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that amazing that in this time of lockdown, there is God with us? God sent us a king. God sent us a revelation. So even in all these times when it was silent and nobody was speaking, I'm so surprised and so challenged that God was faithful. There is nothing that God has not planned. There's nothing that God is not in charge of. And so even in everything, you know, we see this amazing God sent forth his word. God brought forth life. God is faithful. God through all the generations. Even right when Adam and Eve sinned, you know what? There was a promise that he would send forth the Messiah. There was a promise that there would be redemption. And here comes the one who saves the people and the sins of the world. And so today, I want to encourage you and challenge you as we start reading this book of Matthew. It is so exciting to know that God's plans are being fulfilled. God is never late. God sends forth his son to die for us. And that's what we can have fulfillment in. That's what we can be satisfied in, is in knowing Christ, is in walking with Christ and living in Christ and being fulfilled in Christ. So the challenge for us, maybe you feel lonely. Maybe you feel like, wow, there's sins in my life. Then why don't we repent? Why don't we turn back to him? Because he's made provision. And that was the prophecy that the angel brought. That what was Joseph hanged onto, because there was a lot of suspicion, a lot of lies, a lot of things. And I can just imagine him wanting to say, I divorce you, Mary. I just want to leave you because there's too much shame. But there's nothing Jesus cannot identify with. And there's nothing in your life that he cannot identify with, that he cannot change, that he has not died for. So let me pray. So Father, I thank you that you sent your son to die for us. Thank you that today as we submit ourselves to you, Lord, that there is an Emmanuel, God with us. God, you've never left us, never forsaken us. And so today, Lord, we repent of our unbelief and we turn our hearts back to you. Lord, thank you that there's nothing that catches you by surprise. Lord, as we sit in this lockdown time, thank you that you sent a Savior to forgive the world of their sins. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.